Second Peter, chapter 1, verse 1. Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ.
I was proofreading an email at work this week, and I noticed I used the word great a lot. I was writing to one of our trainers. I said, I hope you have a great time, whatever city she was in. Your sales are great, and you have a great weekend. I've discovered I really like the word great. For some reason, I use it more than I probably should. And since I know that about myself, I always go back and reread emails to make sure I mix it up a little bit. For whatever reason, great is kind of a favorite word of mine. Peter had a favorite word, and if you're reading the King James Version, you'll find it right smack in the middle of verse 1. Anybody want to look at verse 1 and guess what his favorite word might have been? I heard a mumble.
Servant?
That's one he used a lot, but right smack in the middle. He says, like precious faith. That word precious is a word that he seemed to like a lot. And the reason I say that is because we have two letters from Peter, and in those two letters, 1 Peter and 2 Peter, he uses some variation of that word at least 7 times. I'm just going to point them out to you, just to kind of build the foundation for what I'm going to say this morning. In 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 7, he told us that our faith is much more precious than gold. In verse 19 of that same chapter, he spoke about the precious blood of Christ. In chapter 2 of 1 Peter, he told us that the Lord is the chosen of God and precious. And then in verse 6 of that chapter, he spoke of Jesus as a precious chief cornerstone. This morning, we're looking at our text, obviously, where he speaks of a like precious faith. But if you drop down to verse 4, you'll see that God has given us exceeding great and precious promises. Peter liked that word precious. He used it a lot. And I think he used it on purpose because it was one of his favorite words. The English word precious means this: very valuable or important, too valuable or important to be wasted or used carelessly. That which is greatly loved, valued, important. And that dovetails with the definition of the Greek word as well. I just think it's interesting that Peter thought of his faith as being something that was especially precious. Greatly valued, greatly loved, too important to be wasted or used carelessly. And I'm not sure we often think of our faith in those terms, but I hope after this morning's message you'll begin to think of it that way. Because our faith truly is something that's very precious. So what was it about Peter's faith that made it so precious to him? Well, in the text we have 3 clues, and the 3 clues are these. We have his name, we have his service, and we have his position. And those 3 things, I think, factor into the fact that his faith was very precious to him. Let's look at them one at a time. First, his name. In the opening sentence of this letter, Peter gives his full name, Simon Peter. Now, it's interesting he did not do that in 1 Peter. 1 Peter begins like this: Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ. Contrast that with this: Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ. It just kind of creates a whole different tone, a whole different expectation from this book in my mind. And I think probably what's going on with Peter is that his end is near and he knows it. And I think as he's facing the end of his experience on this earth, he's becoming more reflective and looking back at what Christ has done for him. Now, the reason I say his end is near is because if you'll drop down to verse 13, listen to what he says. Yeah, I think at meet, as long as I'm in this tabernacle — he's referring to his body as a tabernacle or a tent — as long as I'm in this body, as long as I'm alive, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance, knowing that shortly I must put off this my tabernacle. In other words, I'm going to die soon, even as our Lord Jesus Christ has shewed me. Moreover, I will endeavor that you may be able, after my decease, when I'm dead and gone, to have these things always in remembrance. Almost sounds maudlin, doesn't it? I'm about to die, and I just want to make sure you got what you need after I'm gone to keep walking with the Lord. And that's the tenor, the tone of what he's talking about in this passage. I think as Peter drew closer to death, His faith became more precious to him, and I think you can see that in the use of his full name. Let me tell you a couple of things I know about Peter's name. First of all, I know that his parents named him Simon. Now, last week I pointed out that some translations have the name Simeon instead of Simon, and the reason is because some Greek texts have Simeon instead of Simon. I think probably that's what Peter probably wrote was Simeon. Simeon is the Hebrew pronunciation of the name. Simon is the Greek pronunciation of the name. His mother was a Hebrew. And so probably what she called him growing up was Simeon. That was his name he grew up with throughout his life. What I can tell you is that's what they named him. They did not name him Peter. Second thing I can tell you is Peter was not his middle name. You see, we often think of it that way, Simon Peter, right? I'm Gary Allen. Arletta is Arletta Kay. My son is Simeon James. My daughter is Susanna Joy. We all have these middle names. This is not Simon Peter. You'd not find Peter on his birth certificate. His parents had nothing to do with the name Peter. Do you know where he got the name Peter? Well, I will show you. Yeah, from Jesus. Let's look at the text. It's in Mark chapter 3 and verse 14. Mark 3, verse 14. I'll just start reading and you can catch up when you get there. Jesus ordained 12 that they should be with him. These are the 12 disciples who became the apostles. And that he might send them forth to preach and to have power to heal sicknesses, to cast out devils. And Simon, he surnamed Peter. He gave Simon a different name. As far as I know, up until he met Jesus, he was just Simon. This Peter thing is something Jesus imposed on him. Jesus just said, okay, your name is now Peter. John, in his gospel, gives us a little more information about it. I'll just read this to you from John 1, verse 40. It says, one of the two which heard John the Baptist speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first findeth his own brother Simon and said to him, we've found the Messiah, which is being interpreted the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus. When Jesus beheld him, he said, thou art Simon, the son of Jonah. Have you heard the name Simon Bar-Jonas? What that means in the Jewish tradition was son of, Simon, son of Jonas. And he might have translated this that way, but he didn't. Simon, son of Jonah, thou shalt be called Cephas. Now bear in mind, this is, as far as I know, Peter's introduction to Jesus. He's never seen the guy before. His brother Andrew brings him to Jesus, and Jesus says, so you're Simon, son of Jonas. You shall be called Cephas. Well, that's not Peter. What's this Cephas business? Well, understand that Jesus did not speak Greek. He spoke Aramaic. And the Aramaic word for rock is Cephas. You know what Peter's name, Peter, means in the Greek? It means rock. And so really, he's got a number of names. We can call him Simeon. We can call him Simon. We can call him Cephas. We can call him Peter. But the name Simeon and Simon is the name he was born with. It wasn't until he met Jesus Christ that he got the name Cephas or the name Peter. So here's a question for you. Who does Jesus think he is meeting somebody the first time and telling them, okay, I'm going to change your name? So what would you think if you met somebody like that? They introduce you and say, well, your name is, but it's going to be. Does that sound presumptuous to you? Well, maybe. But the reality is that Jesus changed everything about Peter. And Jesus gave him a new name, and Jesus gave him a new life. And when Peter is writing his final letter, probably his swan song, he seems to know the end is near. He's reflecting back on his life, and he starts out, Simon, Peter. Somebody said that those two names contain the history of his entire life. Simon, the name given by his parents, that's the name by which he entered into the Jewish tradition and circumcision, became a Jew. Peter, the name by which he came into relationship with Jesus Christ. Those are the two parts of his life, before and after he came to know Jesus Christ. And Christ radically transformed his life when he changed his name. See, I think as Peter neared the end and reflected on where he'd been, I think he's just kind of moved. Simeon, Peter. I was Simeon, but Christ stepped in. Boy, how he changed my life. Think about your life for a moment. when you met Christ? Did he change your life? Has he done things for you that you needed done, and you look back and you think, wow, look what Christ has done. Isn't that precious? So I think Peter is just marveling at what Christ has done in his life. And he says, you've received like precious faith. It is so precious. It's valuable. I think it's helpful for us sometimes just to reflect back on what Christ has done for us. Because sometimes I think we get so caught up in day-to-day events that we lose sight of how he changed our lives and all the things he's done for us. Let's not wait till we're on death's door to reflect back. Let's periodically think back, what has Christ done for me? It's precious. So I think we see something about why his faith was precious in his name, Simon Peter. Let's look at his service. Simon Peter, a servant. Now the translation servant is too nice, because that's not what Peter said. The word doulos that he used is the word slave. In fact, it comes from the Greek word deo, which means to bind. As a slave, you were bound to your master. Vine's dictionary says that this was originally the lowest term in the scale of servitude. You see, you had household servants, and then you had the slaves. And the household servants were a notch above the slaves. The slaves were the lowest of the low. The word that Peter uses here is describing the lowest of the low. This word really, in this context, it sets us up for both the humiliation of being a slave and honor. Humiliation and honor, they're both in this term. Let me show you how. First, the word slave speaks of humiliation because of what slaves were like in the first century. Here are some things I got from William Barclay that play into this, the concept of a slave. Number one, he says a slave was inalienably possessed by his master. The idea meaning that the master owned the slave just like he owned his tools or his house or anything else. The slave was just property to the master. Well, in like manner, God owns his people. We as his children are in fact his slaves. He owns us. We belong to him. Number two, a slave was unqualifiedly at the disposal of his master. See, in the ancient world, the master could do with the slave whatever he wanted him to do. He even had the power of life and death over his slave. And there were no laws protecting the slaves then. The slaves were wholly at the disposal of the master. Well, isn't that the relationship God wants to have with us? That we unqualifiedly are at his disposal, at his beck and call? Number three, a slave owed unquestioning obedience to his master. You see, during that time, the master's command was the only law the slave knew. It's the only law that mattered to the slave, because that was his master. Likewise, you and I as Christians, the first question we should ever ask is, Lord, what would you have me do? You are my master. And then finally, Barclay says a slave was constantly in service to his master. See, slaves in the first century were on call 24/7, 365 days a year. They didn't have PTO, they didn't have sick time, they didn't have holiday pay, they didn't get holidays off or vacation time. They were their master's slave around the clock. That's God's intent for his people, that we are at his disposal at any time. But see, we've become really good at compartmentalizing God, haven't we? I mean, I came to church today. This is God's time. And maybe I'll come back tonight. That'll be God's time. Maybe I'll come back Wednesday night and God will get that time, but the rest of the week is my time. Oh, you don't understand the relationship God wants to have with you. God never intended that we compartmentalize our lives and give him this and we take this. It's all his. That's what Peter is saying. He's saying, I'm a slave of Jesus Christ. Now, we're talking about his faith being precious, and if his faith introduced him to slavery, then how is that so precious? I mean, what I just described doesn't sound so precious to me. Does that sound great to you? I'm going to be a slave. That's a precious thought. Let me tell you two reasons why that was precious to Peter. Number one, because when he became a slave of Jesus Christ, he was delivered from the slavery of sin. Paul said it like this in Romans chapter 6, verse 20. When you were the servants, it's the same word as in our text, doulos, when you were the slaves of sin, you were free from righteousness. What fruit had ye then in those things whereof you're now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. It says, when you were a slave to sin, you did things that today you are embarrassed about. You're ashamed of the things that you did then. Can any of us relate to that? Look back at our time before Christ and think, oh my goodness, how could I have done that? You were slaves to sin. But then Paul says, but now being made free from sin and become slaves to God, you have your fruit unto holiness. See, Peter had been delivered from the bondage of sin. Yes, it made him a slave to Jesus Christ, but how much better to serve Christ than to serve sin? And that deliverance to him was a very precious thing. The second reason I think that this slavery was precious to Peter was because of who he was slave to. He was now slave to the God of the universe. Let me ask you, which would you rather serve? Sin with its guilt and shame, or God with his grace and glory? See, to me, that's not much of a choice. But it's going to be one or the other. I mean, Bob Dylan had it right. You're going to serve somebody. Maybe God, maybe the devil, but you're going to serve somebody. Peter says, I've served Christ. He's been my master. I have been his slave. It was a privilege for Peter to serve such a master, and he saw that as precious. One of my favorite stories from church history is the martyrdom of Polycarp. Polycarp was a disciple of John the Apostle. John is thought to have outlived all the other apostles, and I mean significantly, by years, 25, 30 years. He apparently lived to be an old, old man. Polycarp was one of his disciples, and then Polycarp lived a long time. And it's thought by the time that Polycarp died, he was the only remaining follower of one of the disciples of Jesus Christ. So he was kind of the last of the Mohicans. But he was taken to the stadium to be executed. And he was interrogated by the proconsul in front of the crowd in the stadium. And the proconsul asked him whether he were in fact Polycarp. He affirmed that he was. And here's what the proconsul said to him. He said, have a respect for your age. Swear by the fortune of Caesar. Repent. See, he was on trial for being a Christian. Repent of that. And say, down with the atheists. Well, what does that mean, down with the atheists? Well, see, the ancient Romans thought Christians were atheists. And the reason is because Christians served one God. You know how many gods the Romans served? I mean, they had hundreds of gods. Christians narrow it down to one, that makes them atheists. So Polycarp says, say, down with the atheists. Well, Polycarp looked out at that crowd of pagans in the stadium. And he pointed out at them and said, down with the atheists! Take that, proconsul. I love that story. The proconsul said, swear, reproach Christ and I will set you free. You just denounce your following of Jesus Christ and you can be free. Polycarp said this, 86 years have I served him. And he has done me no wrong. How can I blaspheme my King and my Savior? Wow. And with that, they piled on the flame and he burned and gave his life for that Savior. Peter didn't live long enough to say 86 years. Peter probably started following Christ about the year 30 AD, and this letter was probably written 65 or 66 AD. So 35, 36 years. Peter could say, 30 odd years I have served him. I have been his slave and he has done me no wrong. It has been precious. It's a wonderful thing to come to the end of life and look back on your relationship with God as your master and say this has been a precious thing. See, as we yield to his service, we find that his yoke is easy and his burden is light. But that's only true if we submit to the earlier part of that passage. See, I'm quoting Jesus from Matthew chapter 11. Listen to the rest of the context. Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. Ye shall find rest for your souls. My yoke is easy. my burden is light. It's only easy and light for those who pick it up and carry it. See, there are people, maybe there are a few in this room this morning, who kind of want to have the best of both worlds. I mean, 1 foot in my Christianity, and I'm going to serve the Lord, but 1 foot in the world because I'm going to stand out and be too different from everybody else. That's just kind of makes you weird. And so you're trying to find this balance between the two. And what you find is Christianity isn't as wonderful as that preacher keeps saying it is. Well, there's a reason it's not so wonderful. It's because you're playing games with it. Take my yoke upon me. Follow me. Serve me. And when you do, you'll find my yoke is easy. My burden is light. You'll find rest for your souls. If you don't have that rest, maybe it's because you're not really serving him. You're trying to have the best of both worlds, and that does not lead to rest. If you want God's rest, you get it on God's terms. Peter, as he neared the end of his life, could say, I've been a slave. Oh, it's been precious. Being his slave has been precious because he knew that rest. He knew what it was that Jesus' yoke is easy and the burden is light. Peter's faith was precious to him, first of all, because of his name. It represented the change that God had made in him. Secondly, because of his service to his master. And the third reason is the next phrase in the verse, Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ. Now, the word apostle here is used in the technical sense. It means one who was chosen specially by the Lord to be his authoritative representative. Peter says, I have had the privilege of serving Christ as an apostle. That was the privilege of his life, by the way. And it was very precious to him. Let me tell you why it was such a precious thing to be an apostle. First off, because of what qualified you to be an apostle. You remember in Acts chapter 1 when Jesus had ascended into heaven and the disciples were left and told to stay in the upper room until the Holy Spirit would come. Previous to that time, Judas had gone out and hanged himself. Well, he was one of the 12. He's one of the apostles. And so as they're waiting for the Holy Spirit, the other apostles said, you know, we need to find a replacement for Judas. So Peter stands up and gives the qualifications. If you're going to be an apostle, here are the qualifications. Wherefore, of these men which have accompanied with us all the time that the Lord Jesus went in and out among us, beginning from the baptism of John unto that same day he was taken up from us, must one be ordained as a witness with us of his resurrection. So if you're going to be an apostle, you had to be there at the very beginning when Jesus was baptized, followed him throughout his earthly ministry. You were there at his crucifixion, you're a witness of his resurrection, and you were there till he rose and ascended into heaven. Peter met those qualifications. See, Peter had a front row seat to the most significant time in the history of the world. What period in history is more significant than God becoming a man, living among us, and giving his life for us, and rising from no period of time. It's more significant than, and Peter was right there. Wow. What a privilege that was, huh? A couple of months ago, I read a book by Helen Thomas. You may recognize that name. She was a White House correspondent for the UPI. And I don't know how many years, but she started when John Kennedy was president. And she served as White House correspondent through the Bill Clinton administration. So think about all the presidents that she knew. I mean, John Kennedy, then Lyndon Johnson, then Richard Nixon, I think, then Gerald Ford, and then there was, after Gerald Ford, Jimmy Carter, and then Ronald Reagan, then Bill Clinton. She got to know a lot of presidents. They called her by name. They joked with her. They gave her birthday parties. It was a phenomenal book to read just because of all the stories that she can tell. What a position to be in. But you know what? Those men were just presidents. Peter was watching the ministry of the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the God of all gods, the one who will someday set up his throne and rule and reign as the Lord of all. What a privilege that was. He looked back on it and he said, boy, that was precious. Something else about being an apostle. Luke describes this in Acts chapter 5. He says, by the hands of the apostles were many signs and wonders wrought among the people. And Peter did his share of signs and wonders. You remember the gate beautiful? He says, silver and gold have I none, but what I have, I'll give you. In the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. And the man didn't just rise up and walk. He rose up leaping and jumping and praising God. And Peter said, whoa, look at that. How would you like to have the power to do that? How about that story where Dorcas had died and Peter comes in and says, rise up. And the life comes back in her body and she comes back to life. What memories he had. They were precious. Something else about being the apostle is you were in at the very beginning days of the church and you became foundational to the church. Paul said to the Ephesians, now therefore you're no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and the household of God. You're built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. The apostles are the foundation. They were there at the very beginning, and that's what the church is built on. Just think, by way of example, what it might have been like if you were in at the very beginning of Microsoft, Bill Gates, been with him all these years, richest man on earth, and you were there the whole time. Wow. Or what if you were friends with Steve Jobs and in on the very beginnings of Apple? Here's what you need to know. Microsoft and Apple are both going to crash and burn one of these days. These guys were involved in something against which the gates of hell itself will never prevail. What a privilege to be in on the beginning of that and to have some influence in it. You know, last June when Susanna got married, she got married at the Open Door Bible Church. I didn't ask her that. I didn't even mention it. The reason they got married there is because it was midway between here and Blue Springs where Ethan was from, and it was convenient and it was available. So they got married there. But what you may not know is I started the Open Door Bible Church back in 1981. Susanna was born while we were there. We dedicated her to Christ in that building. And it just, there's something about standing on the platform in that building. Now that one I didn't build. It was built after my time. But to look out and think, wow, I had a part in this. That's humbling. It's really kind of cool. It's really precious. But see, that's just one little local church. Peter had a part in this organism that has permeated the globe for 2,000 years, that has impacted billions of lives. Little wonder he spoke of it as precious, very valuable, too important to be wasted or used carelessly, greatly loved. It was precious. It's precious because his name reminded him of what Christ had done. He changed his life. It was precious because he had been a slave of Christ and served him faithfully. It was precious because as an apostle, he made an impact in people's lives that made a difference forever. Now, the reality is that God hasn't called any of us to be apostles, and he's called few of us to be preachers, but he's called all of us to make a difference in people's lives, and that's what Peter had done. Last Friday, I was at the grocery store and was taking the cart back to the store, and there was a woman standing by her car, and she called me by name. Oh, I looked up, and she looked vaguely familiar, but I couldn't have told you her name or how I knew her, but she introduced herself and reminded me that I married her and her husband probably 25 years ago. And she said, you know, Gary, we went through some really hard times, and I just want to thank you for the counsel you gave us then. She said, if it hadn't been for your marriage counseling, I don't think we would ever have made it. Oh. There's something precious about that. To know that somehow God has used you to make a difference in somebody's life for good, that's precious. That's just a little thing. Think of all the stories that Peter could tell. Like precious faith, is it precious to you? Can you look back and see what Christ has done? Has he changed your life? Are you serving him faithfully as his slave? Does he have complete control, mastery of your life? Are you allowing him to use your life to impact others and change them? If so, then you'll find this faith is very precious. If for some reason it's not, check off those things. Figure out why. It's what God wants your faith to be. God help us that it would be this precious to all of us for his praise. Let's pray together, shall we? Father, I thank you for the preciousness of our faith. Thank you for this man, Peter, and how you changed his life. Thank you that as he neared the end, he could look back and remember a lifetime of serving you and see it as precious with no regrets. Father, may we live the same kind of life. And if there are those here who have not experienced or are not currently experiencing the preciousness of their faith, bring them to the place where they will. May they take your yoke upon them. May they find your rest for their souls. May they know the preciousness of this faith. In Jesus' name, amen.